at 4:17, let's say. And we have nothing to vote on today, so it does, we don't need to establish a quorum or anything like that. And we're really just wrapping up the year, so we have a few things we need to talk about. And before we get started, I would like to thank all of our year two members that will be rotating off. We appreciate your service very much. Thank you for that. And then for all of you guys that are year one members, you're not off the hook yet. We'll get started next year again and talk about adding members to replace the other members. And we also have to look at the number of members who are appointed by the board and make sure that we have the right ratio and all of that. So, but that's all for next year. So I just want to say thank you to this committee for hanging in there with me this year. Appreciate it very much. And that's really all the announcements that I have. And just a quick reminder that the minutes are always posted. They're written, and the audio of these minutes is posted on the FBISD website after the meeting. We usually get that done we have to get it done within 10 days. We usually get it done sooner than that. So if you want to look at the meeting minutes or listen to the meeting, you can do that. Judge Klein has asked to come and present. She has spoke at several schools in the surrounding area, and so she wanted to visit a little bit about her experience and see if the SHAC committee wants to consider having her come do the same thing for us. So you have the floor, and I printed off your informational and presentation, so I can hand those out while you get started.
Trying to figure out where's the best way to do this from. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for allowing me an opportunity to talk to y'all and for being involved. My name is Ina Klein, and I moved into the Flower Bluff District from the south side many years ago so that my two kids could go to Flower Bluff. So they are now graduates of Flower Bluff and are doing great. And I am super proud of this district, and I feel that I'm invested in this district, and I'd love to give something back of what I can. I'm one of the district court judges. There are eight of us. And my specialty is I supervise the domestic violence caseload. I started working in the domestic violence environment in 2007 when I became an assistant district attorney, and noticed that we are having an epidemic of domestic violence. I don't think just in Nueces County, but my exposure to it was limited to Nueces County. And the more I was working in it, the more I was realizing that the more we're accomplishing, the less traction we're actually making, because there's more happening. As a judge, I see literally thousands of felony domestic violence cases. So the felony ones are, they're strictly criminal, but they're the more serious cases. They're the ones where deadly weapons are used, interference with breathing is happening, serious bodily injury is happening, and of course murder cases are happening. So what I'm seeing is a cycle of domestic violence. So throughout the years, I have met the grandfather, the father, and the son, the grandmother, the mother, and the daughter. So it is pretty apparent by now that the only way to truly make a difference is by starting with the prevention of domestic violence instead of being reactive, trying to be proactive. So it's a learned behavior. So I'm trying to intervene by, first of all, establishing what is domestic violence, because a lot of the time when you talk to people that have adopted that lifestyle as a norm, they're not even understanding that what's happening is not normal. My first 4 years as a judge were spent at the city as a juvenile judge. And so many times I have met the kids who are growing up in a domestic violence environment, and
are not aware of what's happening. For example, they will say, well, no, I don't live in a domestic violence environment. My stepfather only does this to my mom when he's drunk. So because, you know, it's drunk, it doesn't count. So that normalizing of something abnormal is very scary. Now, I have spoken about domestic violence at several different school districts. And my objective is not to take the place of a parent or a guardian, because I think that conversation has to happen at home. My objective is to start the conversation. And I hope that the parents and the guardians will be involved. And I hope they will be invited to, if y'all think that this is something that we need at Flower Bluff, then I hope that there will be some information sent home to the parents and the guardians ahead of time, so that the parents and the guardians can become involved in this, so that the conversation can happen here, but continue at home with just parents and kids. A lot of the time, domestic violence doesn't start with the physical domestic violence. It starts with emotional alienation, and a lot of the time it will be from the parents. I'm talking about the dating violence. So it will start with one of the young people trying to alienate the other one from the family, from the support network, so that then that person, that victim, depends more on the abuser. And so my objective is to bring the parents and the guardians and the kids closer to one another, so that that conversation can happen safely in a safe environment before it's too late. That's pretty much what I had to present. I'm happy to answer any questions. I have presented on this actually here at Flower Bluff before our world changed, before COVID, and then obviously it stopped for a few years, so I'd love to come back, and I don't want to do it in a form of a lecture. I don't think it's a stimulating conversation when it's a lecture. I would love to do it in a dialogue, conversational format, and it seems to work the best. So I've done this here at Flower Bluff, I've done it at Moody High School, I've done it at Toloso, and Toloso alternative schools. I don't think it's just limited to the high school. In fact, I think depending on the format and the language, it should start much earlier, because sometimes by high school it's way too late. But I think it's very important to point out that I'm not trying to take away anything from the parental role or the guardian role. I'm only trying to start the conversation so that the parents and the kids can continue it, and then completely step out. So I'm happy to answer any questions.
What are the steps that you take if you're in a small group setting with students having that conversation and they start revealing information?
So it happens almost every time. I have a social worker, a psychologist, a detective, and an officer on standby. Mm-hmm. And they're available to come in. I don't think it's a good idea to have them actually physically there, because I think that makes the conversation a little less honest and open. But before I go, I make those calls and ask that they be available immediately. And I've never had a negative response.
And then how do you, in a situation like that, engage with the school staff?
So in Flower Bluff, when I was doing it, there was always a teacher around when it was happening. I don't know if the information was sent home ahead of time, and I would love for it to be sent home. I know Mr. Crenshaw was actually instrumental in allowing me to come into the school at that point. And I think the assistant principals were aware of that too. So it, at least from my point of view, appeared very smoothly operated. Mm-hmm. If that answers your question.
I was just thinking about more specifically if a student starts revealing information and then you do have your staff members ready. Mm-hmm. I think our school has policies also about situations like that. I just wonder how you interact with
Well, a couple of comments I can make is, you know, things have changed considerably. And one thing, Judge Klein, is we're required now to notify parents of any of these. And it's a reverse sort of notification. We used to send something home that said you can opt out. Mm-hmm. Now we are required to send something that says you opt in, right? So anyone that's at your meeting would have opted in to be there.
And I don't know if the information was actually sent home. I'm just saying that I never asked that question before.
Right. So I can't remember either because I've slept since then. but I do know now you're very much required to do so. And however that procedure is, if this committee decided to do that, we would work with you on that opt-in form to make sure that the information that the parents needed was on there.
So. I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
What age would you recommend the conversation to start?
Honestly?
Yeah.
Elementary school? Mm-hmm. I hate to be that person, but just based on what I'm seeing in court, mm-hmm. elementary school.
Do you mean like first grade?
Yes.
So at the primary?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously the format will change. Obviously the language will change. Obviously the examples will change. But first, second grade.
And you were working with in a classroom environment with like a classroom size group or like a larger group?
I love doing it in a one class or two classes at the same time, not more, because I think if you do more students, then it becomes a lecture format. And while lecture format is better than nothing, I think, I'm willing to dedicate more time to it to make it non-lecture format, but more of a dialogue rather than a regular lecture. I just think things settle differently when it's a conversation.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes I think some of these things maybe are so obvious and I'm missing this. So to talk about an elementary child, we would educate this child on what domestic violence is. Right, and so then, how do we determine success of the program? Because if I'm telling a 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 year old this is what domestic violence is, what is my hope then for that child? Because let's take a stereotypical, like maybe a father that is roughs up his mom. Well, I don't think we'd want that child to then confront that father, right? So what does that look like for a kid?
We talk about the safe person.
Okay.
And that safe person can be a teacher, that safe person can be a guidance counselor, that safe person can be an officer in the school. So basically, the child, it could be a friend's parent. Mm-hmm. And I'm amazed at how much the little kids know who that safe person will be. I talked to an elementary school once, and later on a teacher told me that child went to a youth group leader and told them, and to them that person was an adult. That person was 16 years old. Scary to think what a 50-year-old would be to that kid. But, in their mind, they go to the safe person, and that's all that matters, because they go to the safe person. And you give examples of safe people, and then when needed, the kid decides for themselves.
I think we have our social worker here. We have counselors here, correct? Do they receive, I just want the committee to hear, do the students receive lessons on this type of topic, and especially who to go to in case of situations?
As of right now, not that I'm aware of.
In their lessons with the classes?
Oh, with the classes? Yes. Yes. In their classrooms? Yes, I believe they do.
Yeah.
But it's more out of a textbook this
right.
year than it has been in the past with presentations. Yeah.
Okay. And do you know what grade they start those conversations?
No, not off the top of my head, no.
James, do you? Because you deal with the counselors.
Yeah, they start very early having those conversations all the way down to primary. It's required to have those conversations.
Yeah. And I can tell you that at Toloso, when I was asking the kids if they've ever talked about subject like this, and they all said absolutely no. And then later I talked to the guidance counselor, and they said, you know, we give lessons on this. Mm-hmm. But that's exactly what we're talking about. When it's a lecture, it's just absorbed differently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. And I think that abstinence program helped with dating violence.
It did. Yes. Yeah, it did. Yeah. We don't have the abstinence program here anymore, but it did cover. And last year we were able to pull the Purple Door and to do the dating violence.
Any other, yes?
What information is sent home with the child for the parents? Because you were talking about that's the start of the conversation, you want them to have the conversation.
So I was just suggesting that the administration send some kind of an email that, but I didn't even know that now it's a requirement, mm-hmm. basically that somebody's going to be coming in, somebody is this person, and you're invited to join in for this conversation. It's going to be happening at such and such time, such and such date, so that they can be involved.
Okay.
Thank you, Judge Klein.
Thank you.
Yeah. So if I could get a little bit of feedback from the committee, we're wrapping up the year, and our job is to decide if this is something that we want to approve, and then it's the school's prerogative whether they do it or not. So we are getting into that time of the year when timing is, like May, the high school is pretty booked. So if this committee did want to pull together for a vote, this kind of happened late in the year, and this is our last scheduled meeting, right? But I don't have a problem, if you want to, having a meeting that has one thing on the agenda that says, let's vote for this. I thought about doing that through a Zoom, but I don't want to outsmart myself and break any rules or anything like that. So it would probably be better for us to just come together one time and vote. And we could do that in the next, few weeks. But we would definitely need to have a quorum. We have 16 voting members, and today 6 of them are here, so we couldn't vote if we wanted to, and we're not allowed to. We have to do it in a second meeting.
And we do have another curriculum item that needs to be added if you're going to hold another meeting, and that's that MD Anderson vaping curriculum.
Yes.
That the principals are
so we could throw together another meeting that only had those items on there and make it quick, so just kind of polling the committee. Would you like to come together and vote on this item?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
It's important.
Okay. Okay. Sounds good. I'll make a note and we'll get it going. And I don't think we need to delay too much. We're just long enough to be able to post it and et cetera. So I'll get back with the. I appreciate you, Judge Klein.
Thank you, Mr. Crenshaw.
Very much.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Yes.
I just had a curious question. Yes. Out of curiosity. What are the costs?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to ask that.
What are the costs involved with having you come in?
I don't want to say I'm free, but I'm available.
Okay.
So as far as I'm concerned, there is no cost. I consider it a part of my civic and public elected official responsibility. So there's no cost associated.
Thank you. That's awesome. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay, so moving right along, nutrition is going to talk about the wellness plan, and that she has copies of that. And while we're doing that, I don't think we have anything on nursing today, so that's off the agenda. And while she's handing that out, let me talk about FitnessGram just a little bit. It's 5C on the agenda. For those of you who are not familiar with this, FitnessGram is what we used to call the presidential fitness test back in the day, right? You had the 12-minute walk run and all that. Well, this is called the Fitnessgram, and there's about 10 exercises, our physical tests that students do, and we're required to do it every year. So I just want to update you that we're well on our way. I met with the PE folks last week, and there's a great big old spreadsheet that they have, and they're required to test every kid that's currently, you don't have to test every kid that's in the district, but every kid that's currently in some sort of physical activity is going to be tested. And then we don't report that until June, so probably I won't report, you know, I'll bring the spreadsheet in our first meeting next year and let you know that we finished that. But that's the update for now on Fitnessgram. Does anybody have any questions about that?
Do you still have to climb the rope?
You don't climb a rope anymore. It's a kinder, more gentler fitness. And you're not required to run through stickers like I did in the Ranges Pass or anything like that. So it's much different.
Mr. Mitchell, can I just do, I have a little brief.
Yes, please, please.
Okay. I just wanted to give a snippet of the nurse's life. So, as of noon yesterday, I just ran some district reports. This was noon yesterday. 44,364 office clinic visits, with 19,679 of those being medication or procedural across the district.
Pretty slow.
my closeout today was 95. Anywhere from, you know, simple Band-Aid to managing anaphylaxis, impairment, broken bones, all the different things.
Giving principals Tylenol.
Our nurses' days. Oh, no, that probably doesn't include an actual visit. And it also doesn't include our COVID testing numbers. So,
yeah. Wow.
Or our mass screening numbers. Those are separate reports. So we stay quite busy. Ready for the
year. Well, I've had the pleasure of being with the nurses this year, and I'm learning a lot, and they are very dedicated, hardworking individuals, and we appreciate everything that you do very much.
We'll have more numbers for you next month.
Appreciate it.
Which campus has the most? Is it ECC?
It's actually typically my campus, 5th and 6th grade, because I have the longest day. Mm-hmm. This year is a little bit closer. We're starting later, but historically it's been 7:40 to 3:55, so I get an extra hour. Mm-hmm. And between, I know, between third and about eighth grade, they're learning, you know, well, I can just visit the nurse for a few seconds to get out of class. Typically my campus has the most, but again, I mean, I could spend 2 seconds giving a Band-Aid before I could spend 15 minutes treating a low blood sugar. So the numbers aren't a true reflection, but it is eye-opening to people to see the vast mm-hmm. number of things.
It's like touch points, like that many touch points, though, is a lot.
Oh, yeah, I know. I mean, and this, I guarantee, won't include every conversation that's had on the telephone with a parent, because mm-hmm. we don't always have time to document them. So it's a very busy room.
Yeah. John, those are numbers for what time period? Like, for the month?
Start of school year up
until
9,000 a month.
Yeah.
More so you make about a nickel a kid. I know, I'm
going to
start out more.
Yeah, right.
Okay,
thank you, Don. Thank you.
Good afternoon. How's everybody doing today?
Good afternoon.
I'm Gina Valdez. I'm the nutrition director for the nutrition department. And this is Eric Martinez. He's our nutrition and school coordinator. And I'm getting him trained on all of the processes that go with the wellness. So I told him I'm going to present today, and then he's going to be taking over. And he's really, what he does is he's just making sure that we're following the policy and we're doing everything, and we get with the principals and get their input on some of the things that we're implementing. And so we're making sure we're following all of the offering, that they are offering nutrition education in science class, in their biology classes, whatever courses they have. They also have, like, if they do it in math, if they do some kind of problem, they talk about apples or, you know, something that includes nutrition. So there's a lot of things that we do. We do it across the board. So I was very, very proud to see that. We are always talking about promoting healthy eating. We have to
we have to post posters for the students so that they can see that. We're always talking about a reimbursable meal and educating them, and that's an ongoing thing where parents will call us and we educate the parents on what a reimbursable meal is. And a reimbursable meal is, for a student, it is a fruit, a vegetable, and then their entree. Their entree can include the grain, or can be part of, like if it's a slice of pizza. And by the way, the pizza that we serve is always low sodium. Please don't tell the students that. And we don't use, we use turkey bacon or turkey pepperoni. So just to let you know, all those things we do. And we use a whole grain pizza crust. So there's a lot of regulation as far as that goes that we have to do, you know, for the state is requirement, okay? They don't really police us on the sugar, but it's actually coming down the pipeline. They're discussing it right now, and there's probably going to be the limits on the sugars coming down soon. So just to kind of tell you a little bit, smarter lunchroom techniques, that is where we go into the cafeterias, and we're making sure that they're putting that fruit out and it looks pretty. And I take pictures of our lines all the time, and I discuss that with our managers on product placement. We talk about where, like, you want to put the healthy items, like if they do, we do water, we do Diet Coke, or we can, there's some things we can do in high school that we can't do in the other schools. We want to make sure that we put that water, that they're going to reach for the water first, okay? And all of the healthy items that we do serve, we always try to make sure that they are price lower than something that's not as healthy, and that's just part of what we have to do, okay? And so we're always regularly looking. We do post on the district website. I don't know if anyone has ever seen it, but it tells you the carbohydrates, the sodium, the calories, and it has it listed on the website. So if you're ever interested, if you go to our district website, it is posted. We also try to promote any nutritious items. Like, I already said that over the, I already did that. And then we also offer nutrition education for our teachers and for our staff, because we're always talking about, you know, we have a wellness program for our nutrition staff, because we have to, you know, show that we're doing that. We don't want to just tell students, hey, do this, right? You gotta mirror it, right? You gotta eat healthy. And we do operate the breakfast program. We do it before school, and we also do it breakfast in the classroom for the younger students. We follow all the regulations. We offer an after-school supper program now. I don't know if anyone's y'all are aware of that. It's doing very well. The students really love it. I love to go out and see the students because, you know, kids are hungry when they get out of class. And they're eating that food, and it makes me proud to see them because they love it. And I'm glad that they're enjoying it, because I'm glad that we can do it. All of our managers and our assistant managers, and we have several staff supervisors, all of us have our manager certification. So no one is ever in a campus without one. Whenever the health department comes by, we're usually getting hundreds. Sometimes if they take a point off, it's usually because the ceiling tile is loose, or there's a, you know, something is wrong with the floor. It's not anything that we do. We're temping the food and following all the protocols that we need to follow. And I have a really great team. I'm really blessed that we have such a great team. They really do want to present the kids with appealing foods, because, you know, kids eat with their eyes, right? And, of course, with the smell. And they talk about after-school physical activity, and we do have CPR-certified staff, and we do offer recycling at all the campuses right now, and we try not to do, we don't have any type of recognition for exhibiting healthy behaviors, but that is something we can discuss if that's something that we want to do later on, like for the next wellness. Does anyone have any questions about any of these items on here? Yes, sir.
How many people work for your department?
I have, including myself, I have 64 staff.
And what's the cost of the nutritional program?
So
the district?
So every 3 months, our bills come out to about $800,000.
Every 3 months?
Yes, sir. Yes.
And how much money does the district lose on the nutritional program based on, like, kids paying for things and buying things?
Lose? Well, right now we're not negative. We're
actually in the positive.
Positive, yes.
For the first time in a long time.
Yes.
Wow.
Last year we
I paid for three kids.
Thank you.
This last fiscal year was the first time we had a positive ending to our budget cycle for nutrition. It's a separate budget from our
from
budget.
The district.
Right.
Yeah,
so
because we're federally
it's the
funded.
First time that the district didn't have to take from the general fund to put into the nutrition budget.
That's really cool.
Why do you think that is? I mean, besides
her. I'll let her answer that. But it has a lot to do with the reimbursement.
Is that turkey bacon?
No, it's not. So what happened last year, you know, COVID changed our world there for a little bit, right? And the government actually allowed us to have all of our students eat their meals for free. And that was such a blessing. I wish we could have continued it. And because of that, they actually gave us a higher reimbursement rate at the time. And that really helped our department.
Cool.
And now this year, we've also introduced some different programs. The SEPR program, we're doing the breakfast in the classroom. And that's really helping our bottom line. It's helping our numbers. We're increasing. The entire goal for our department is increasing participation, getting more students to eat. So we're trying different things at the high school to make the students like us more.
So they've added some menu items. So they don't, at the high school, for instance, they don't just have the regular menu. They have added a hamburger line.
Yeah. Hornet Burger Bar.
You want to mention it, the Burger
Bar? Yeah, absolutely.
Bar.
So as Gina was commenting, one of the things that we want is we want participation. The way our department is structured is when a student comes by and actually goes through our system, then we receive compensation for that. If a student does not come through our system, we receive nothing, yet the food is still sitting there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And usually it gets thrown away. Mm-hmm. And that's the reality of it. So we have a lot of costs that we incur, and if the students don't pick it up, we get nothing.
Yes.
Okay. So what we did at the high school is we're encouraging the participation. So we have several things. One, we turned one of our aisles into a burger bar. So they have the option of a cheeseburger, hamburger, chicken burger, or a spicy chicken burger. That's one line. The other line, we turned it into a pizza park. As she mentioned, the pizza, we do use the low sodium, things that are appropriate. And so they have the option of getting a burger every day or getting a pizza every day, or they can go through the other line, which is the rotating menu. And the idea behind that is we want to, once again, to increase the participation. As parents, a lot of us think, oh, well, they don't like your food. Well, the thing is, we have to find that happy medium between healthy and something that the students will eat.
Yes.
Because we can give them beets and carrots, and our practitioner will go, and our department goes, So that's where we have to find that happy medium. And those are some of the ideas that we've been implementing.
Yes.
We're looking into one more, possibly a taco bar. We don't know what the other one's going to be yet. But we do hold surveys.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the feedback, that's what we use to come up with ideas as to what we're going to do for the next. So that's what we're working on.
I'd like to add to that, too, the surveys. They do surveys, and then we do our end-of-year surveys, and the kids give us their feedback. And the two ambassador groups that I have, I have a superintendent's ambassador group at the junior high and the high school. We go through and we look at all the results and actually look at their comments. And food was one of the biggest ones, of course. And safety is the other. And so we look at those items, and then they give us their feedback. We decipher all the comments, the kids that sit on this committee with me, and then we share that with them and let them know, okay, they have a real concern with food. What are we going to do to make it better?
Right.
You know? So, and they have seen a change.
Yes.
Cool. I had a question on salad bars. So I went to Flower Bluff 40 years ago, and when I was in high school 40 years ago, we had a salad bar here. And we also had it's wonderful. I love hearing about the pizza parlor and the burger bar. That's awesome. In addition to the normal hot lunch line. I was just curious. I don't know when the salad bar went away or if it's ever been thought about to bring it back. But that's obviously a help. You know, I'd love for my own kids to
eat
would
more
love
salads.
A salad bar too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just curious.
So that was part of the survey that we did. And by the way, we did the QR code. The kids love it because they can get their phone and get on there and do the survey. We want to be up to date with what we're doing. But we did ask them their input on what they wanted to see next. And the, one of the things they wanted to see next was the pizza. So we did the pizza bar. And so we're asking what they want to do next. And I was thinking deli, salad, something like that. But no, the kids want to see Mexican food. They want to see tacos. So we, they're our customers, and that's what I tell them. I want to hear what you have to say. It's important to us.
And I think one of the things that, like I mentioned earlier, once again, our perspective of what they should be eating and what they want to be eating are two different. So we're looking for that happy medium. We do have salads available. They can get them. We have the small salads now. It's not a salad bar where you can go and self-serve. But they part of our rotating line, there is a salad. You can go in there and get you the small salad. We have students sometimes that like a lot of the pickles, so they won't get the burger, but they'll get like double of the lettuce, tomatoes, and pickles, and they'll eat that. So with those things are things that we are working with.
Yeah. Staff would probably use the salad bar. I don't know. Staff has lunch there, right? I mean, most...
Not really.
No, not really.
They'd like to be away from the kids.
It's really exciting.
I'm not eating with the kids. What is your participation rate now?
Right now, we feed on a daily basis for lunch. We do about anywhere from 32 to 3,800, maybe sometimes 4,000. It depends on what's on the menu. We do have a lot of students that bring lunch, and when we're doing taste testing, we're trying to, you know, give them a sample.
What would you like it to be? What would you?
Oh my goodness, 100%.
50. Are you reimbursed by each visit or unique individuals? My son buys lunch for a friend that cannot afford lunch. I don't even know about the free, you know, like if they replied or not.
Yeah.
But so I see double lunches, and I'm like, what are you doing, dude? How are you eating so much? And so that's the conversation, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm just wondering, are you guys getting reimbursed twice for him or just once because he's a unique individual?
No, because each student, I can only receive reimbursement per student.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
So I really want that young person to apply for the program. Yeah. We would, you know, love to be able, because it's good for.
Do you guys also? I know that his family is Filipino, and I think there's a language barrier there. Not with him. I mean, but his parents.
We definitely have somebody that can translate. That is not a problem.
I'll tell him to tell his, but you know, especially for next year.
Yes,
for sure.
We have plenty of people in.
Yeah, I know. It was just like, man, what are you doing? I know you're not that hungry.
Yes.
You know, so it's like, okay,
there are some
whatever.
Who can't
do
more
it.
Than one.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Well, and sometimes he will go back and get second helpings of and stuff
absolutely.
Like that. But yeah, I know. But I'm like, you don't eat that much at home. What are you doing at lunch? You know. But
what campus is your student at?
Elementary, fourth grade.
Okay. Tell him to have that student go to the counselor.
Yeah,
and
I was just going to say that.
Form. If I was on that campus, I'm at the junior high campus primarily.
Okay.
We would give the form to that student.
Yes.
And then encourage them to bring it home or even contact the parent and let them know that we're sending the form home.
Okay.
Because
We may need to get it translated.
Oh. Translated
Filipino.
Yeah.
We can see about. We can do.
We can
work
on that.
We'll
figure
that
out.
I mean, the student is very fluent. He's actually the interpreter. When I've been able to meet the family, right? Because we kind of like facilitated that. Like, I'd like to meet him. Blah blah blah.
Yes.
You know, and then I was like,
but it asks for income information, and he may not understand.
Yes,
that.
We don't understand especially elementary.
Elementary.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I will definitely mention to it. When I make lunches, I send to. So because there's definitely days they don't want you know, especially
now
at this point in the year, they know what's happening. You know, like we look at the menu each day too.
Yeah.
Like, are you eating the, you know, carne asada? Was that today? Right?
Oh,
and he's like, no.
They love the tamales.
No, kids are kids, right? They get their mindset too. Like, even if it, you know, like if they've tried it once and they didn't like it, and then it's the next month and it rolls around again, they're like, whatever.
Yeah,
I will definitely. I'll pass it on to him to talk
please.
To his friend.
Yes.
The other thing too is the high school PTA. They bought microwaves and they put it in the cafeteria, so students that do bring their lunch are able to heat up.
their food in the cafeteria.
And we're also getting, we have some vendors coming in, giving us some ideas on how we're going to change the cafeteria, and it's going to look so nice. The kids are going to love it.
And we get a facelift. Yeah.
And so for next year?
I don't know what that
will
be.
We're hoping.
But it's a slow process because we have to get the three quotes. We're required by the state. So it's a slow process.
And all that comes from the revenue that they make. So if they have a good year in nutrition in that
then
budget,
we can buy more.
Then they're able to buy equipment that they need because they can't keep that money in reserve. They have to use it for kitchen equipment or cafeteria equipment. And so that's how they're able to purchase the tables. Now, they can't purchase microwaves.
No.
That's a no-no. Wow. That's why the PTA did it.
Why can't you purchase?
But we can clean them. We can keep them clean.
Yeah, it's just the rules.
It's just the rules, sir. Yeah. We have strange rules, trust me.
I can just imagine the things that you have to, hoops you jump through.
Yes.
And maybe I'm the only one, but I didn't have any idea how the nutrition program worked. But I've always...
A lot of people don't.
I have five kids, so I know cleaning up and feeding five kids is enough.
Oh,
a lot of people
3,000 or 4,000, I can't even imagine.
A lot of people think we purchase all the food and we don't get a reimbursement. Like, we're just, you know, you're spending all this money on food and you're throwing it away. Well, no, you're getting reimbursed. So the federal government, and they get reimbursed at different levels.
Yes, it depends on the status of the student, if they're free, reduced, or paid.
Right. How do you determine setting prices of things?
Well, the state actually gives us a document that I have to do every month, every year, and I have to plug in some numbers. We look at October, and we plug in the numbers, and then that will tell us if I have to go up on lunch prices.
And is there any program in this, any of the school, maybe just high school, that incorporates learning how nutrition in school works and maybe working in the nutrition department? Work-release program?
Yeah,
we do have what is it called? Home economics. Not home economics.
It's gosh darn it.
I know.
Family consumer science. There you go.
Family consumer science.
Yeah.
It took me a little bit, but I got it.
I like home economics.
I do too.
Me too.
I have a couple questions for you.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
First of all, can our junior high nutrition department, or can someone contact our junior high PTA? We desperately need a microwave.
Of course, we can try.
So many students come to my room constantly, and our nurse is so sick of me. Hey, can I send so-and-so down there to make a couple raviolis? Yeah. They didn't eat today. Mm. She's like so tired of me doing that, I'm sure. Second of all, are y'all doing a summer nutrition program?
We do it every summer.
Yay.
We do it every summer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Our kids, I give flyers out like crazy in our snack packs.
And we'll be doing the flyers this month, and we'll put posters up, and we'll send something home with the students too.
Okay.
We don't send them with the junior high and high school because they don't ever get to mom and dad, but you know, we do do it in the elementary and early childhood center.
I do want to just add something. That this year it's going to be a little bit different from prior years. We're going to be having two separate locations. We're going to have one school dedicated to the community, and we're going to have then the high school by itself, because we can't have community members coming in while the students are there. So we're actually going to be operating two, and the community will be going to one, and the high school students will be eating at one.
We're
going to be operating two different campuses. Yeah.
Okay.
So they show their student IDs in order to gain entrance into the cafeteria?
Once they go into the high school, those students will be fed as part of the high school, and anybody from the community will come in, they sign in, they can get their food.
So are you saying that if they're part of our summer programs, they would be fed at the high school?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes,
if they're not, then they would go to the
one that's because of Uvalde.
Oh, I see.
And the different things that have happened, and so we're trying to make sure that we offer our students safety and protect them and, you know, do everything in that sense. But in the community area also, we do have a security. We have policemen on duty at all times that we're serving meals. So there will be somebody there. And yes, ma'am.
So were you done?
No.
Okay. I just wanted to ask, I know you said you throw a lot of the food away at the end of the day that's not used.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't know what all the policies and guidelines are, but is that something that could be given away, like at the after-school snack program? Like,
you know, I wish that we could.
You can't.
They won't allow us. They used to allow it, but I don't know what happened that they had to change it. They just, like, they'll change things and make different rules. But they used to allow it, like, to farmers, for the farmers to take or, you know, to use or whatever. But they won't allow it anymore.
Who is they?
Just leave it there.
Texas Department of Agriculture, USDA.
Okay.
So, and we can do donations, and we will usually, if we do a donation, like if we have something that we are, it's going to maybe go bad and we can't serve it or we've tried or whatever, but it's still within the limits, we will donate it like to Timmins or something like that. Yeah. So like Thanksgiving feast. When we had the Thanksgiving feast, we did have some meals left over, and we were able to donate it to them. They have to sign a document, and we have to keep that on file for like 5 years and make, you know, to show that we did it. Yes, sir.
If you had your own garden that you were growing and you took those leftovers and used it as your own compost, could you use it as your own compost to then put back into your own garden?
We could probably do that, yes.
Have we ever tried the garden before?
We have.
And just it wasn't well received.
It does well for a little bit, and then it dies off.
Yeah. We're actually looking at starting one up with the 18 Plus program.
Okay, cool.
You know, when we just opened up the Ready, Set, Go program over there, the old SDGC house?
Yes, okay.
So behind that area, we're looking at adding a garden.
That would be awesome.
But yeah. We want to fence it in first.
Yeah.
Before we have kids out
there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would love it if we had a garden.
Compost that stuff.
Thank you, Gina.
Thank you. Thank you.
I just have one more quick question. It's just kind of a detailed one. What happens to leftover funds in students' accounts at the end of the year? Do those roll over, or do they get absorbed?
They roll over.
Okay. So if they've graduated, we do try to contact them. We'll send an email, and we do phone calls, and we have somebody, and she works on those accounts. She works on student accounts.
Okay.
And their balances. And if parents want their money back, all we ask is they send an email, and we give them back their money. We send them a check.
And there is a campaign that I'm trying to get started. I just haven't had enough time to get to it. But you know how during Thanksgiving, Christmas, it's always pay it forward. You know, you go to Starbucks, buy the person behind you a coffee or whatever. I would like to get a campaign out there to where people would pay off accounts. We have several that don't get paid off.
Yes, ma'am.
And people at Starbucks can afford their coffee if they're going to Starbucks.
Yes, they can.
Our kids can't, some families can't afford to pay off their meals. And
that's
so
right.
their balance is in the red. So that's a campaign that I would love to see get started. I haven't had a chance to speak to our new director or coordinator, so maybe he can help us this coming year, but that's definitely something that I think we need help with.
How much money
are we what is that annually?
How much did we look at last month that was in the red?
Oh my God.
Accounts.
I'm trying to think. I remember it by school, so give me a minute here.
This is a huge.
Yeah, I'm gonna say about 4,000 maybe. Yeah. That's negative.
Yeah.
It's not
a month, or it just kind of accumulates during the year, and then.
Yeah, it's like monthly. It's accumulating. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We don't. You know what's the hardest part for my staff is pulling a student. I mean, I've had people cry because they had to do it. I'm getting teary-eyed just thinking about it. It's hard.
Yeah.
We don't want to do it. We love our kids. We love our students, and we want everyone to get a meal. And we do, if we've ever pulled a meal, we just pull the entree, but we don't even want to do that.
What is your criteria for doing that? How negative do they have to
20,
be?
20, I think.
20, but we're not doing it right now.
We kind of let it lean, but if we were to get audited, we could get dinged for that if we have too many that are over.
But it's hard.
Some of them are in the hundreds.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really difficult.
Because it's hard for you to
Let's
take
fix
that.
That. We shouldn't have
take
that.
Take that
here.
Meal away from them and give them what peanut butter I think it is. Okay. If they're
we
not
should,
allergic.
Or a cheese sandwich.
We shouldn't have anybody that gets a meal taken away.
You know,
away.
And
not
I sit
now.
On a couple of different nonprofits.
Well,
and
that's
we
why
do,
we don't.
And we do, you know, fundraising every Christmas to, you know, like, or you adopt a family right from the tree or whatever.
Right.
That would be, like, let's adopt a school.
That's right.
You
that's
know,
awesome.
Or let's adopt, you know, like 10.
We shouldn't have that.
I agree.
We have a weight problem in this country. We shouldn't
That's
have kids
thank you.
We can fix that.
That's why I think that if we band together, we could probably pay some of those off and help our kids.
And it's the same thing when it comes to the book fair. I mean, if you've ever volunteered at the book fair, that's like a wow. When you have kids that
do not get to get anything.
They don't
get to buy
anything.
You know,
it is so sad.
I
thought it was too. I don't want kids
to
take away, but I don't want
to employ
that take away. That's not fair.
No, it's not fair to them.
I don't want
to
be that employee. I don't want
to
ask somebody else to do it.
And help, I'm like, I'm not pulling any meals.
I would say those are probably the top two. Paying meals off, and you're right, the book
fair
is the other. Because kids see the book fair,
You know how it is. If you've not been in a while, it fills up the whole library, and the kids' eyes just like light up. But if they don't ever get to go because they don't have the money,
it's a sad
situation.
It's very sad.
Well, I know we had, at least a few years back, I haven't volunteered now that my kids are getting older, but we had like a box that had maybe like a dollar book or 50-cent books, and so we always would try to help the kids get those, so they had quite a few options. I don't know if they're still doing that.
I think they do. Yeah. But I also know that there are some families that will say, don't even
because
think about
they don't
it.
Even know that that's
yeah,
available.
Don't go to
the
book fair.
Yeah.
Well, $20 can be a whole lot of money.
There's a clearance table, and they're five and under, right? But they're still taxed. And so, I mean, I know, like, when I go and volunteer, there's oftentimes I'll just be like, listen, I'm going to give $50 today. So if you have a kid, and the librarians are amazing. They know the kids that don't have money, right? And they'll grab them and be like, let's go. You know, I mean, it's because it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is.
It's like you said, taking food.
It's
heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking, yeah. Because you want everyone to have the same, be on the same level. So
and those are the kids that don't have books at home. Those are the kids that don't have food at home.
Yeah.
I mean,
Yeah, that's why I'm glad we could offer the supper program, because you can see it. You can see they're hungry.
And it's taken some adjustments.
Yes, it has.
It really has. Because breakfast in the classroom is hard on teachers. It really is.
They don't want
it's additional. No, it's not really a distraction. It's a mess. It can be a mess.
That's more work for the same amount of money.
It's the milk.
For everybody.
Exactly.
Can you open this?
Yes. And then the supper program was the other that we struggled with.
Yeah, I had that,
It
was bleeding teeth, but
we got it.
Pat
now, so I think we're okay.
When you introduce a new program, you're going to have like little kinks in the road, and you're going to have to work through them, and we've gotten there.
Yeah.
And it's like smooth, like butter.
You heard her say that. So
salt-free.
Salt-free butter.
Well, thank you, Gina.
All right, thank you all.
Thank you.
So really, except for remarks from the council members, we're wrapping things up here. And before I open it up to anybody that wants to say anything, I just want to thank you again for your service this year very much. We had a hardworking year, and with one more meeting, I think we may set a school district record for shack meetings. I think that'll be six or so. So
we should go before the school board and like get presented.
I think I have the ear of the superintendent, so maybe we can do that. Oh yeah, that would be awesome. But thank you very much. And anybody have any comments or anything they would like to say?
Let me get your email. We'll get you a microwave.
That's easy.
Yeah.
Give me your email, and I want to talk about those accounts because I don't like that.
That's great.
That's awesome.
That's great.
We should do better.
Yeah, you did. Just
we can fix that.
Just let us know what direction, and we'll. I made notes, and we can talk about that again next year, and we'll make sure we get that going. I really do appreciate this group. It's been a pleasure.
You too.
Thank you.
And
I think y'all should deal with the big problems. These problems we should fix. Those are pretty
thank
easy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, with that said, let's adjourn, and then I'll get something out real quickly about coming back together for the other two items that we need. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.